Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We're joined by a great friend, Paul Trombley, from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
How's it going over there today, Paul?
Going well. How about for you?
Not bad here. We got some nice sunny skies.
Melissa,
you in Abbotsford. How's it there?
You know, it looks a little cloudy, but the sun's shining.
Nice. What is it looking like for you, Paul? What do we got from Mother Nature this week?
Yeah, you know, still looking at some hazy sunshine out there today, but otherwise some highs right around 80 with a light west wind and mid-50s, partly cloudy tonight, Wednesday, about 83. Mix of clouds and sun, could see a late day shower storm build in as the system pushes in from the northwest later tomorrow. And better chances for showers and storms Wednesday night with the lows about 60. Still could see an isolated shower storm Thursday, otherwise turning partly sunny, 78. Comfortable end of the week, still mid-50s Thursday night, 81. Some sun Friday. And then back into some highs around 83 Saturday, slight chance for a storm, otherwise partly sunny, mid-80s isolated storm Sunday. And then starting to heat up next week, around 90 on Monday. Looks like more 90-degree temperatures as the week progresses on the way as well. But, definitely enjoying these cooler temps in the meantime with highs still staying about 80 today. But,
we'll take it. Nice, calm, cool temperatures, we'll take it. Not bad at all.
Yep. Next week you might get fired, but that's okay. You know, it's a week away.
That's why I'm taking vacation next week.
So. Oh, good.
You're a smart man, Paul.
Paul, you've been doing this a lot long enough. You know what you're doing. That's great.
Yeah. We're going to run for the hills.
Yeah. Paul, we'll talk to you before you go on that break. We'll talk more tomorrow. You have yourself a great day.
All right. Thanks, you guys, too.
Thanks, Paul. Business.
Paul Trombley, our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Melissa and I got a bunch to get into this morning. We got to have some fun topics. We've got the little bit of stuff here. Where is it here? Oh, there it is. Computer problems that cause us to waste how much amount of our time. We're going to get into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cities and states with the best and worst drivers.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert, that is the city, that is the state right next to you. That whatever it is, wherever you live, it's always the people living in the state right next to you that have the worst drivers. And in 9 o'clock hour, got some fun stuff lined up for you. One of those things is we'll have some entertainment, that a right story is good stories of the day, and the 5 biggest nutrition myths according to a dietitian.
Oh, okay.
All that coming up for you. But right now, Melissa, and this came up about a month ago and then was re-brought up last week or so ago. We're going to Pennsylvania for our first story, where lawmakers are considering replacing the state's official song.
Oh, okay.
A proposal to establish a new state song got a positive vote in the House of Representatives, although there was some discord. The resolution to establish an independent commission to review the history, solicit suggestions from the public, and make recommendations passed to the House of Representatives to find a new state song. The current state song was adopted in 1990 by a similar committee tasked with the same job. The song Pennsylvania by Eddie Corey and Ronnie Boner was selected. But the bill's sponsor, Representative Joe Searcy, a Democrat from Montgomery County, contends that these days no one really knows the song, and he's arguing it's overdue for an update. This is something we should take pride in. This is something every member of the chamber should be able to sing, even if you don't sing well. This idea of this going around. There's some politicians that want to keep that one. There's some that want a new one. They're, bopping around about that. And we'll see what happens with that story. I'll be following it. But, of course, we come here to Wisconsin, where we have our state song. Melissa, do you know Wisconsin's state song?
On Wisconsin, grand old Badger State. We, thy loyal sons and daughters, hail thee good and great.
Nicely done, Melissa. Well, everybody, round of applause.
I did look up the lyrics, but I knew the tune.
Still counts. And you're wrong. It's actually, I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drum. Melissa's right. That is the state song of Wisconsin. Now, I don't think we need an update. That one's just perfectly fine, and it fits the state and everything, and everybody knows it. But what about a... A state song that's kind of like a fan state song, like a state song that the people kind of like and enjoy, and some a little bit similar to what I was saying there with the bang on the drum all day from Oingo Boingo and stuff that of course is famous from Packer games and such. I'm curious well, if the audience got any feedback on this one.
Yeah, I want to hear from the audience too.
424-2600.
Mm-hmm. Or one button dialing on your Civic Media app.
Yeah, make sure to download it straight up.
You know, if we're talking polkas, it's probably got to be the Beer Barrel Polka.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. I think that you start looking at, like in Pennsylvania, what they're doing, and in similar places. I know they did this in New Jersey with Bruce Springsteen. You look at local famous singers and songwriters and that. I think that there you've got quite a few in this state. Steve Miller, Woody Herman, you got the Bodines, the Violent Femmes, a couple of the members from Garbage are from here. Of course, the legend, the great Les Paul, and Al Jarreau. A lot of good ones. I got a couple suggestions for you, but let's see what our audience has to say. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, I really like the Al Jarreau reference for Wisconsin, but... one of my favorites is West Virginia with Take Me Home, Country Roads.
That's a good one. That is a good one. It's a perfect West Virginia song. That's a great one. Certain states have their song, you know, and that's the one. Like, West Virginia could try to do different ones, but that's what they'll always be known for.
Right.
It's good feedback, man. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you.
Yep, have a good one.
You too. That's good. Keep it coming, everybody. 424-2600. You want to give us other states and their songs, that's cool too. Otherwise, we'd love to hear what you think would be a good kind of like fan favorite song for Wisconsin. We've certainly got our song, but what would be one that you kind of, you know, playing at, you know, rafter games and things like that? Some Bon Iver, I don't know. some stuff out there. I like the idea of Al Jarreau, but his most famous song is Moonlighting, and I don't know if that really fits the state. Necessarily, I don't. I love Al Jarreau. You want to put an Al Jarreau song in there? I'm fine with that. But I did. I did have one suggestion for the audience. If you don't know this one, and yes, it does involve Dolly Parton. so we go full circle here, kind of, Melissa, from over there on our sister station, Wiz Country 105.5, doing the Sunrise Show, coming over here and playing a little bit of Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton, Milwaukee, Here I Come.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, not bad at all, not bad at all. I think that one's a pretty good, that's got to be in the running.
Yeah, I think so.
Put a little of that, if you don't know that song, it's only like 2 minutes, so it doesn't take you very long to listen to, everybody. Go ahead and give that one a shot, but that's a good one. Also, God, she sounds so young in that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought her voice always sounded the same, so it throws me sometimes when it sounds a little bit younger or a little bit different or anything. So Milwaukee, Here I Come, Dolly Parton. There's also a version from Tammy Wynette and Jerry Lee Lewis has What's Made Milwaukee. That's another one. Somebody sent me a text, Brad Paisley, Alcohol. I don't know.
Well, you know, we do have a reputation.
I just thought of another one. What about Jump Around from House of Pain? You know, that's been that's huge in with Badger games.
Every sporting event.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I know how obsessed you are with Rihanna.
Yes.
Did you realize that one of her songwriters is from Wisconsin, Skylar Gray?
No.
So you could actually choose a Rihanna song.
Oh, God,
that she wrote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I have to. only because, I don't know if I've mentioned, we share a birthday, and...
might have heard that a time or two. But yeah, Skylar Gray is from Mazomanie, Wisconsin, she has wrote for a lot of people.
I did not know that one. I did not know that. That is interesting. I'm playing a little bit for you right here. My Cousin in Milwaukee from Ella Fitzgerald.
Once I visited my cousin in Milwaukee, USA. She got boyfriends by the dozen when she sang in a low-down way. positive sensation. The songs that she sang would never miss. My cousin was my inspiration. That's how I got like this.
Now I'm going to pick that one only because my favorite singer of all time is Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and the horns. And the story. Who else can start a story? I went to visit my cousin in Milwaukee.
If I had to choose, that would be my favorite voice of all time. Patsy Cline, Billie Holiday, they're all up there, but that's the one for me, Ella Fitzgerald. So my cousin in Milwaukee from Ella Fitzgerald, I think, has to be in the running as well.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee getting a lot of song names and a lot of song titles, a lot more than I think I realized.
Hey, Seth. Maybe that's the next,
There you go. Nicely done. The man's on vacation and we're doing his work for him. I mean, that
I know, right? We should get paid double.
We should. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with some celebrating. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner with Melissa and James on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. I just feel like it needs something. It needs a little more. It's just too light.
I don't know. I kind of like the little bell thingies in there.
It's not bad. I wouldn't buy like a little... There you go. Yeah, there we go. All right. It's time, everybody. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're going to do is some celebrating. What we encourage you to do is head on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. And get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You could direct message us on WIRI or WFHR's Facebook pages as well. And they can even call in, Melissa.
424-2600. Call right now and tell us your birthday.
We'll get it on the list. We dive right in and we've got three possible qualifiers today. Melissa, I need a one through three.
Let's go with three.
All right. That gives us our qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And we want to first up wish a very happy birthday to a big, big friend of ours around here at WFHR, Deb Kluwerth.
Oh, happy birthday, Deb.
Deb, of course, has joined us many times on the air here with Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Deb, along with Sue, are the reason that I am so involved in the Family Center because they thought that I could do some good. I could be a part of things. I've never thought that I could be on a board or anything like that, and Deb would not take no for an answer. Deb's also was the second interview I did. I interviewed the Stephen and Katrina from Family Natural Foods, and then it was Deb. That was for my first interviews, my first block of interviews. And Deb could not have been, like, I'm the one that's supposed to be keeping her calm and relaxed and everything. And listeners out there remember the times, this came very suddenly. You know, we didn't have anybody to do the show. And so I just kind of was thrown into it and
jumped in.
Had never done interviewing before, and Deb could not have been a better, you know, person to talk with, and just couldn't have been more friendly and nice. And I've enjoyed working with her so very much. The impact that she has had on this community, you cannot put into words. It's impossible. Go ahead and try, and I would love you to, and I think she would too, and I think she deserves it, but there's just no way to do it. We appreciate you, Deb. Have a great day. Enjoy your day. Also, happy anniversary to Tom and Colleen Johnson.
Ooh, happy anniversary, Tom and Colleen.
It's a great one for you guys. We don't have a number here, so we'll just go ahead and say that whatever one it is, it's a great one. Enjoy it.
It's the best one so far.
Yeah, nicely done, Melissa. I like that. And happy 59th to our qualifiers.
Ooh, happy 59th.
59th anniversary to Doug and Barb Kasten.
Doug and Barb, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
That's beautiful. That hits my romantic heart, you two. Happy anniversary to you both. Doug and Barb, you're our qualifiers. Congratulations and a happy anniversary to you. Happy 59th, you two. Let's dive into our celebrity birthdays. Let's see here. Chase Crawford is 38. He is Nate on Gossip Girl and The Deep on The Boys. He does a good job on that show, The Boys.
Okay.
Kristen Bell is 43.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what age I thought she was, but it's still surprising to see that she's in her 40s. She doesn't look it.
No, she doesn't.
You see her on a lot of TV shows, but you may have known her from as Eleanor on The Good Place, Elsa's sister Anna in Frozen. She's also Veronica Mars and the narrator on Gossip Girl.
I loved The Good Place.
Yeah.
Love that show. And I have to go back and watch Veronica Mars, but I don't have access to it right now.
I was a big fan of The Good Place as well. It is a really, really perfectly cast show and incredibly well-written. Very well-written show.
Okay, and this one I might have to watch. The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window.
Yeah, that's. I wanted to see that one too. I saw her in an interview talking about it, and it's like a comedy horror, if I understand.
It says thriller, but you got to think that there's some comedy in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching the world go by from her living room window, brokenhearted Anna sets her sight on the handsome new neighbor until she witnesses a gruesome murder. Dark comedy.
It's got. I'm trying to think of the movie. What is the movie? It's Jimmy Stewart. He's in a wheelchair. Rear Window. Rear Window. It reminds me a little bit of Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart. And I want to say Grace Kelly, I believe. Raymond Burr, I think. It's a 50s movie. I don't know if it's that well known by anybody out there, but that's a great one. That's just a thriller of a guy just sitting there basically looking out his window, and it's so thrilling yet. It's a good one.
Well, and then there's the play that I saw. Actually, I saw it in London, The Woman in Black.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is the horror film or play that they did make a film out of.
It's another good one. That is another good one. Taking a look at some more birthdays here. We've got, let's see, Kelly Riley is 46. She's on Yellowstone, Britannia, and Watson's wife in Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes. She did a good job in that. She was very good in that.
Oh, yeah. I like her.
And turning 56, Vin Diesel.
Really?
Dominic Toretto, Groot, any of the above is 56 today.
56.
Interesting.
Yeah. A lot of Fast and Furious movies. I liked the first one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen any past that, though.
I liked those. I watch all of them, I'll admit. I've watched every one of them, and I can't help myself. I tend to be a sucker for car chase movies.
Okay.
That's my dad's fault. I blame him. And he's done a great job as Groot. He had the XXX movies as well that was really he was really big in. And Riddick. Riddick was a good one, Riddick. I thought.
Yeah, and he was in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Those were all really good. I encourage people to check out two particular movies if you're a fan of Vin Diesel. First off, Knockaround Guys from 2001. Vin plays a Jewish man in it, and he has this gigantic Star of David on his big arm. And it's a you don't get to see Jewish people played this way very often. And Vin Diesel did an amazing job in that role and did a really, really nice job. I think that's a sneaky, fun movie. I enjoyed it. He was good in Boiler Room. Saving Private Ryan, I think, was very one of his better performances. I want to say A Man Apart is a good one. Find Me Guilty, though. That's the one. Find Me Guilty. He put on a ton of weight for that role. And he plays Jackie Di Norasco, famous gangster. It's based on a true story. It's directed by one of our greatest directors in Sidney Lumet. And Sidney chose Vin Diesel for this role, like pulled him out and made him like basically audition for it. And nobody in the world thought Vin Diesel could do drama. And he does. He did a great job in that movie. He's very good in that movie. I'm a little surprised that he didn't do more drama. I guess the money's not always there in that, so maybe that's part of it.
Well,
I don't know.
And he's been a little busy with the Fast and Furious movies for some time.
And playing Groot and all this. Yeah. The man is not having a hard time finding work.
Finding work, no.
Ricky Skaggs is 69, Country Music Hall of Fame inductee. Ricky taught himself to play the mandolin at the age of 3.
Oh, wow.
That's not even fair, man. How do you even compete with something like that? That's impressive.
No.
He also plays the banjo, the fiddle, the guitar. He's a great songwriter. Quite a career. This is interesting, and I usually don't mention these names because we only, you know, we have a limited amount of time and stuff, but it's kind of interesting to me these two share a birthday. Richard Branson is 73, the first billionaire in space, blah, blah, blah. And Steve Forbes is 76 of Forbes magazine.
Really?
Interesting. Martha Reeves is 82, leader of Martha and the Vandals. Heat Wave, Dancing in the Streets, but my favorite of theirs, one of my favorite songs of that era, Nowhere to Run.
Ah.
God, I love that song. It's a good song. And has been all those songs have been used in at least 1,000 times in movies. I think Martha and the Vandals is one of the biggest acts to ever be featured in soundtracks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Every one of those songs has been in multiple movies.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Torre is 83, former New York Yankee and L.A. Dodger manager, an all-around class act by most considered.
Okay.
Let's see here. We keep going with these. My computer's acting up. I apologize, everybody.
Oh, of course it is.
James Brolin is 83, Barbara Streisand's husband, the dad in Amityville Horror, the father of Josh Brolin and many others. James Brolin, great career. Great career for him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people no longer with us. We mentioned this earlier. Nelson Mandela, born on this day in 1918, passed away in 2013. Former South African president, international hero. One of those people that we all, I think everybody can take something from Nelson Mandela.
Something positive, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that there's, we're not talking about a perfect human being here because there's never been a perfect human being.
No, nobody's perfect.
Other than my mother. Jeez, that was close. That was close.
That was close, James. Wow. The cutoff almost happened there.
But an incredible human being.
Mm-hmm.
John Glenn, another incredible human being, born on this day in 1921, passed away in 2016. Yes. The first U.S. astronaut to orbit the Earth. In 1998, Senator Glenn also became the oldest person ever launched into space at 77.
Wow.
Held that record until October of 2021 when William Shatner broke it at the age of 90.
You know, I'm okay with that one, though.
Yeah.
When we talk about rich people going to space, Shatner, I'm cool with it.
It's weird, but I don't know if this is the right way to put it, but it's like he's grandfathered in.
A little bit.
It's kind of like that, where I'm with you. I feel the same way. The Richard Branson thing, I was just about to go off on billionaires in space, but William Shatner shows up. Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like that, he deserves that.
William Shatner, man. Melissa, do you have a favorite author? And I say that knowing that it comes with multiple names.
probably Diana Gabaldon or Rosalind Laker are the first two that pop into mind. But also Piers Anthony. I like my sci-fi books, too.
Right on.
Yeah, Orson Scott Card.
Langston Hughes was a big influence on me. Shel Silverstein, of course, and the great Maya Angelou is arguably my favorite person to my biggest influence writing wise is probably Maya Angelou. But my favorite writer probably and the one that has impacted me in my later ages the most is Hunter S. Thompson. And Hunter would have been celebrating a birthday today. 1937, passed away in 2005. Of course, Johnny Depp playing him in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and The Rum Diary, where a lot of people got to know him. But as a kid, I remember seeing a movie where the Buffalo Roam, where Bill Murray played him.
Oh.
And I remember my mother liking the movie and mentioning Hunter S. Thompson quite a bit. And as I got older to be a teenager, 13, 14 years old, I start reading his work, way too young to really understand it. But he would become one of my favorite writers. And not so much because of his lifestyle or some of the ways that he lived his life or anything like that. It was Hunter S. Thompson is an incredibly smart and surgical writer with his word choices, and also could not seem more of a natural and more, this is first thought, putting it on the page, here we go, put it into the publisher. I don't know how you balance that. I don't know how you seem so natural, so like I'm in the room with you while I'm reading this writing and you could be saying this to me while at the same time, so just mind blowing and just, you know, throw you out there. There's so many great quotes from him. The edge. There is no honest way to explain it because the only people who really know where it is are the ones who have gone over. Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die. This one, my GLX days, I had one thing that I pushed for that I got. I ended every one of my shows with that quote of his. And it's one of my favorites of all time. It's maybe my favorite. One of the better authors I think that we have had here in this state, in this country. One of our better authors, Hunter S. Thompson. One more time, we want to wish very happy birthday to Debbie Kluwerth. Deb, enjoy your day.
Yeah, happy birthday, Deb.
Happy anniversary to Tom and Colleen Johnson.
Tom and Colleen, congratulations.
And a happy 59th to our qualifiers, Doug and Barb Kasten.
Doug and Barb, 59 years. Congratulations.
Enjoy, you two. Have a great one and get us more of these and celebrate with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 Stead Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Time for Melissa's News on Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally Grown Radio.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
I don't know, you know, a lot of people have asked over the years, what is it that Meat Loaf wouldn't do for love? I don't want to know.
No.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I'm okay with the mystery.
Yeah, I'm okay with the mystery, and I feel like I wouldn't like the answer. I just want to leave. That's a pop music question I feel like we leave unanswered. I feel like that's a guy, you know, it's all right.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Just leave that one where it is. Why waste time? Because we already waste enough time on our computers. If corporate wants to increase production, here's an idea. How about replacing all those ancient computers everyone's working on?
Yeah. You know, wouldn't that be nice if they worked?
We're a little spoiled on that one here at Civic. We you know, kind of are a tech company, and we are, you know, have pretty good tech around us. We've got great engineers, and while we have our engineers have a lot on their plates, we're fortunate with this. Where I don't feel like that's as big of an issue for us, but it used to be around here. I will not lie. Some not our most recent previous owners, but some previous owners ago, we were using like floppy disks, basically. We were it was pretty rough. A new study found up to 20% of the time we spend on computers is wasted on computer issues. That includes everything from your system locking up to programs that are just poorly designed and not initiative enough. The study involved over 230 workers who spend at least 6 hours a day on their computer. Each person was asked to report things that slowed them down. The most common complaints were their computer was too slow, the computer or program they were using froze up temporarily, it crashed completely, and that aspects of a program were too hard or too confusing.
Yeah. Or your internet goes down and doesn't work.
Right. Yes. Which I think is insane that that's not the number one on this list. I would have thought it was. Most of the people in the study were either IT professionals or workers deemed to be highly competent with computers. So it wasn't just a bunch of, you know, people that don't know anything.
Touching the wrong things.
Right, right. Push any key to begin. Where's the any key?
Right.
I don't see an any key named any key. What's it? In the end, they found that anywhere between 11% and 20% of our time is wasted by slowdowns and poor design.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's one of those things, too, where it's gotten to the point in society, and we got here a long time ago, where, oh, I'm sorry I'm late, computer issues. And immediately people are like, yeah, know what that's like.
It's almost the dog at my homework answer, though.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's true. That is true. It kind of is. It is one of those ones, too, that I hope that we give each other grace in. You know, we all know what it's like.
We've all experienced it. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is there anything on this that are computer issues that you can think of, Melissa, that are not? How about forgetting your password?
Oh, or having to reset your password and it
and it requires you to or re-log in, verify that it's you. And then they you re-log in, but then they want to send you a verification code that has to come to another device that you have to look at and get the code and then enter it into the other device. Yeah. Some of those things where I like, you know, the layers of security are good and important to make sure that unauthorized people aren't using your information or accessing it. But sometimes it's just a royal pain in the butt.
Yeah. 424-2600. If you'd like to add to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you about tech issues that you might have or how much time you think you might waste on tech issues with your computer. Because I think when we talk about how much time we spend on our tablets and our computers and everything, this isn't considered part of the conversation, but it should be. For everybody that's just sitting there, you know, shopping or playing games on their, you know, there's a lot of us that are trying to get work done. And, you know, we're spending a lot of time on our computers because part of it is spent trying to get our computer to work.
Well, but to be fair, you know, it's come a long ways in 20 years.
God, yeah.
I mean, remember when you used to try to get on the internet and you'd bring a book with you?
Yes.
Because you had to wait so long for it to get connected?
I had a joke book next to our computer at my parents' house just for that while you were waiting for the internet to catch on or something. Or,
yeah.
God help you, if somebody picked up the phone while you were trying to connect. We are so dang spoiled with this.
We are. Yep.
And every one of us, as much as I have a ton of perspective and a lot of patience, and I lose my mind at this stuff. It's the whole thing with the YouTube commercials. I think this is one of the best examples where the majority...
Or Hulu.
The majority of us grew up with... my parents included. I'm gonna go ahead and give a real story here. Yesterday, my father... if I'm a little distracted today, everybody, I apologize. I don't have my A game. My father is currently in surgery. My mind, my heart is with him and my mom right now.
I hope that it all goes well.
Yeah. And here's going... I believe it will. I don't believe that when it comes to Jim Maloff, they've invented anything that can take that man out. I'm feeling confident, but you still worry about these things, of course.
Of course.
My dad's going to be held up for a while. It's hip surgery, and so he's not going to be able to get around much. And we were like, well, you know, he used to like Netflix. Would you want to watch Netflix again, Dad? All right, sure. So Dad wants Netflix. We got it for him yesterday, and we're hooking this up. the simplest thing, it's not that hard to hook up an account necessarily.
Right.
But you just need an email address essentially. But getting an email address from my parents, I'm back to being like 7 years old again and we're in the high rise and they're yelling at each other through the walls. What is it again? Jim A? Is it Jim A or just Jim? Is it just this shouting back and forth? And then it locks up. And then it locked up on us and everything. And there's QR codes. There's these things that you got to do. Like just going all over the place trying to get all this done. We got it done. And it probably took us about 15, 20 minutes. But it felt like 20 hours. It did not feel like it was that smooth. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad you got it set up.
These are the kind of things that the tech world brings to us, and that the whole thing about this, the whole reason, part of the reason I bring it up is that Netflix now has where they got like a bunch of different things, and one of them is the cheapest thing is ads. It comes with ads.
Oh yes, you can get a cheaper version with ads,
and like a buck and a half more, something like that. You can get it without ads. So before I even finish the sentence, as I'm telling my parents, you know, which one do you guys want? Right away, like the one without ads, the one without ads, like jumping out of their skin, basically. Like, no ads, no ads. We've gotten so spoiled with this.
Yeah, and if it's only a buck and a half more, I mean, most of us are willing to pay that to not have to watch ads.
Just, they're the generation that had to get up and change the channel, you know. Even our generation had a little of that.
Or when you had, when the commercials came on, that was your bathroom break or time for snacks.
Now, I'm on YouTube and there's a 30-second break. And I'm like, how dare they? I was in the middle.
You actually get angry.
Like, I don't believe they.
And then you realize that you're getting angry. You're like, what? Really? Over this?
Yeah, over free content. I'm getting mad over free content. Yes, it takes me a second, but like, okay, all right, this is a little silly.
Calm down. It's a little excessive.
You can save all that energy for when you're driving. No, I'm joking. when we come back, we got the cities and states with the best and worst drivers. That's coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. A little Living Color to play us in. Thank you, Seth.
It's almost like he knows you.
He's got to be careful with that, though, because now I'm just going to go ahead and have Living Color in my head all day, and the next hour is nothing but Living Color's greatest hits. Melissa and I will not be talking. We got work to do. We got to get into this one, Melissa. We got the best and worst drivers in the cities and states near you, and of course, yes, that is. It is the one near you. It is whatever. If you are listening to us in New Mexico, it is the people in California. It is, you know, whatever state is next to you is basically it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask someone what state had the worst drivers, the answer would be easy. The state that you're, you know, either driving in or the one right next to you. But for a more scientific answer, Consumer Affairs analyzed data from the Department of Transportation and the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. Mm-hmm. Then they rank cities based on four factors: crash fatalities per 100,000 people, the number of fatalities due to bad driving, DUI, and speeding. Bad driving included stuff like driving the wrong way in one-way traffic, failing to yield, aggressive, careless driving, and of course, knuckleheadery. Which is a word I just invented.
Yeah, it works.
In the end, the state with the worst drivers is Tennessee.
Ooh.
Which has four cities in the top 20, including the worst city, Memphis.
Wow.
The other three were Knoxville at number 12, Clarksville at number 17, and Chattanooga at 19.
Hmm.
The 10 cities... go ahead.
I wouldn't have expected Tennessee to be the top.
No. Not at all. I don't know what I would have expected, but they would not have been in the running for me.
Hmm.
Looking at the cities with the worst drivers are Memphis, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Macon, Georgia, St. Louis, Cleveland, Detroit, Victoria, California, and Hesperia, California. And despite having now. Let's go ahead and sit on this one for a minute, the worst drivers. Like when it comes to this, let's take a look at Memphis, the number one. Recent data from the U.S. Department of Transportation paints a sobering picture of driving conditions in Memphis. In the last recorded year, bad drivers caused 203 fatal crashes in Memphis, more than any other city. The next closest, New York at 107. So, that's quite a bit more.
Yeah, that's double.
They have quite a bit going on with that. Now, looking at, let's go ahead and get into the safest drivers.
Okay.
Despite having two small cities in the top 10, California had the best drivers overall, along with Texas.
Okay, well, California is pretty big.
I find that insane.
And so is Texas.
I find that answer insane to me. I'm not arguing with the data, but I've driven in both of those states, and I love both those states. I got a lot of friends in both of them. But I find the funniest thing to me about California is the driving, because I got treated great by people there. We're talking like your average human being walking the streets in San Francisco to your gangbanger in Long Beach or Oakland. Could not have been treated better by anybody I got. I didn't have bad interactions in California. Really didn't.
Well, that's good.
It's pretty good people, except for when I was on the road. I will never forget my first time on a 10-lane highway.
Well, that's just crazy, though.
And I'm driving, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get over to the farthest lane and all this. And there's this guy just honking his tail off at me. And it's so bad, I can almost hear him screaming out his window. And he finally catches up to me. It's a one of those old 60s VW bugs with a bunch of hippie peace signs on it and everything. And this guy's screaming bloody murder at me. Like,
wow.
Even the hippies lose their minds out there. Like, on the road. It's where they save all their energy. I couldn't lock one of them down to actually admit this, but I genuinely believe that every Californian, they take this deep breath whenever they're stressed out. Save it for the road. Save it for the road. Save it for the road. That's where they get all their aggression out.
Maybe.
Texas a little rough, but not because of the drivers to me. It was more about just what they consider roads in Texas. It was a little bit difficult on my for me. I don't think anybody, once you get used to it, I'm sure it will be fine. But it's an interesting thing. Now, the 10 cities with the safest drivers are, number one, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
Green Bay. Way to go, Wisconsin.
Gary, North Carolina. Oxnard, California. Bellevue, Washington. McKinley, Texas. Lynn, Massachusetts. Glendale, California. Pearl Land, Texas. And College Station, Texas. And Henderson, Nevada wrap it up.
Hmm. I find it funny that the safest cities also reside in the states where the worst cities are.
It just doesn't, I mean, what do you do with this? Especially if you're somebody that, like, that's huge to you and you want to live in a state that has safe drivers. I mean, good luck. it really doesn't give you a whole lot. The data is interesting, but I don't know really how much you can do with it as far as, like, avoiding it, other than being a very smart driver, being paying attention, looking, being an observant driver. And, and remember, the road is not just for you.
Right.
I feel like when we have to get our retest done every once in a while and everything. I feel like when you're in the DMV, at one point before you get your new driver's license, that person should have to look you in the eyes and tell you, it ain't about you. The road is not yours.
Right.
Others pay for this road, too.
You're not the only one on it.
Like, you can't have your license until you agree you get that. Like, I know there's no way to prove it and all, and people can just lie. But
I'm, say whatever you want.
I'm willing to try. Like, anything that'll get these people out here to realize. And by out here, I mean everywhere I've ever driven. California, Texas, Wisconsin, Illinois. It doesn't matter. You've got every city, every state, whether we're talking downtown Chicago or right here in Wisconsin Rapids, you run into people that treat the road like it's just theirs.
Well, have you ever taken one of those quizzes where it asks you a series of questions and then you get to the end of it and it says, and you are this kind of personality?
Yep.
They should do that at the DMV about driving habits, but do it in a way that you don't really get what they're asking until you get to the end and it says, you feel like you own the road. guess what? You don't.
I like that. That's pretty good. 424-2600. If you want to chime in with anything that you've got as far as bad driving or what you think is a bad driving trait. But I have here tips for staying safe around bad drivers.
Ooh, there you go.
And again, this comes to us from Consumer Affairs. You can find the full article at consumeraffairs.com. Stay calm. Reacting impulsively or engaging in aggressive behavior can escalate the situation and increase the risk of accidents. Nowadays, I do not know what is going on in another person's head or vehicle. I am not taking any chances.
It's not worth it.
Just ain't worth it.
Nope.
You're going at speeds that are faster than you walk. You obviously can get away from this situation and out of sight, out of mind. Maintain a safe following distance. This gives you enough time.
So big.
Yeah, I think we focus on this with motorcyclists a lot, and you should. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. That's very important. But it's really a good rule of thumb with anything.
Always, yeah. You need to have that time to stop, because if you rear end somebody, you're always at fault.
Avoid aggressive driving. Resist the temptation to retaliate or engage in aggressive driving behaviors yourself. Mm-hmm. Instead, focus on defensive driving techniques.
Yeah.
I think about this oftentimes when I've had people pick fights with me. Now, most guys, they just bark. They don't really want to fight. They just want to bark. They're looking for their friends to pull. Hold me back, Joe. Hold me back. Where's Joe? Oh, there he is. Joe, hold me back. You know, that kind of thing. I think of it the same way with driving. There's a lot of people out there that talk a good game but can't back it up, and they do that when they're behind the vehicle, and you know, just like the same type of person when they have a weapon. They talk a good game when they've got that, but they are nothing without it. That kind of person doesn't deserve your time. Keep moving.
No. And the thing is, a vehicle is a weapon. Right. There's a lot of damage that you can do with that, you know, thousands of pounds of metal and gasoline, and it's not a good idea.
Recently
so
found out.
Just always take the high road and let them do what they're going to do.
Recently found out I was in actually more accidents than I realized before I was 10, even.
Wow.
And a lot of them. And it took me a long time to be able to get over that phobia of driving and to be able to drive. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving that up for anybody. And that includes you crazy drivers out there. Like, you know, be a smart driver. Think about it. If you don't, hey, it's a privilege, not a birthright. It can be taken from you.
It sure can.
I actually think that we need to be even more on that as far as OWIs and drunk driving and those things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. One and you're done. We got enough people on the roads. We got enough cars. It's not my fault that you decided to be a knucklehead and you know, take this privilege and do wrong with it. Mm-hmm. You risk other people.
Putting people in danger.
What you want to do with yourself is your own well-being. But when you get in that vehicle, you are endangering other people, and that ain't right.
No.
I don't feel like we should be giving people 10 DWIs and things like that. They're going to straighten out. Just give them 10 more chances. And I'm miss me with that. Again, consumeraffairs.com is the website. Melissa and I will be back with plenty more fun on the morning show right here at, you tell them, Chuck.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.